apologize ahead of time for not going to be able to write on this. I forgot to put my text in my usual program, so I can't write on this. Best I can do is point at it. But before we even get to that, okay, we're still on page 17 in the workbook, and we are again doing a survey study of the books of the Old Testament. I already covered Genesis and Exodus. We're in Leviticus now. I've done the chart on page 14. And page 16 and 17, we looked at some of the responsibilities as given by God to the priesthood, responsibilities and restrictions. We got down to question 3 on page 17, and before I get into that, I just have to say this. Hopefully everybody got some good out of Sunday morning's lesson, but on the way out Sunday night, somebody told me that Don Patton has videos on YouTube, and so I went and looked him up, and I would strongly encourage all of you to go to YouTube and just type in Don Patton, D-O-N, P-A-T-T-O-N, and he's got a bunch of videos on there that I could watch them all day. And I wish I would have seen some of these before I did my lessons, because he had even more material in there that is just unbelievable what scientists have said and done to deny evidence. It's not deny theories, but deny evidence and regarding dinosaurs and fossils and dating. So that's my promo for the night. Okay, down to question 3 on page 17. If you were to describe the general duties of the priests, what would you see? Offering sacrifices for the people, and for various reasons. Again, the thank offerings, the grain offerings, the burnt offerings, sin offerings. That was pretty much their responsibility. Anything else? They did have other duties.
Weren't they pretty much the authorities over law at this point? Were they dispensed justice in decisions that were...
You don't really see it.
Differences in opinion, or...
You don't really see it in here, but when we get into the later books, you're going to see that that's exactly what they were doing. And part of, not necessarily all judgments, but some, because he will later say later that the priest, when talking about what they did wrong, preached for money and the judges for a bribe. So there was a distinction, but they did do some judgments also, but it was usually in matters of spiritual matters rather than civil matters.
At this point in history?
Right now, I don't know that I can answer that. I know there was one point when Moses appointed judges in each of the heads of the tribes. But that was separate from the priesthood. Yes?
Right.
Okay. They were the determinant of if someone was clean, like lepers, or for any other matter. And again, New Testament example, in Luke the 11th chapter, when the 10 lepers came to Jesus, the thing that he told them to do was he was told them to follow the old law. Go show yourself to the priest. Well, they were still leprous, but you had to go show yourself to the priest for them to determine whether or not you were clean. And of course, in that case, they were clean on the way. Yes?
I think overall, the overarching duty of the priest was to set apart, not only in themselves, but also the people.
Okay, that's a good way to put it.
Yep.
Okay, that is a good way to put it, because, and I like the fact you said not just for themselves, or not just for people, but also for themselves. And that's one of the things that, when we get back to this and going a little bit deeper, we'll see that that was one of the things that God specified, that already he had told the people, be holy for I am holy. But then when he is laying this out for the priest, he added that statement again, you need to be holy, and gave extra restrictions on them because they had a responsibility that the common person in Israel didn't have. They were working, in a sense, as the mediator between God and man, or between man and God, carrying out these sacrifices, as has been mentioned, but also a lot of the daily duties. Of course, they had a theocracy, so it was a little bit different than regular civil law, but they had a higher expectation, higher standard. And so, as in that place, who are the priests in God's house today?
We are.
What responsibility do we have to the world to show them that higher standard? I think it's pretty much parallel there, that you know they were showing the people a high standard, a higher standard than what they were even living. We, living in the world today, have a responsibility to show the world a high standard, do we not? So, and there's that expectation too. I think even people in the world, though they don't even believe, they still know that we're supposed to be living according to a different standard, right?
Well, the high priest could only do the Day of Atonement offering.
Right. Okay, so you got this particular special sacrifice, the Day of Atonement, that only the high priest could go in there. What else could only the high priest do?
Go
into the most holy place. And that only when God said so. He couldn't just go in and out whenever. And there's a reason for that. It was the most holy place. That's where God came down to speak with them. And I imagine, if anybody dared even try to go in there, that probably would have been their last day on earth. If you remember the Indiana Jones, the original movie, when they opened up the ark, that's kind of the picture I get, is probably what would have happened if they would have tried to do that. Remember Uzzah? He just touched the ark. Now, we may think that's kind of harsh, but even the priests who carried it on their shoulder, the Levites who carried it on their shoulder, couldn't touch it. They were to carry it with these poles that ran through the rings on the ark, but they couldn't touch it either. And contrary to what TV and movies show, they didn't carry it around for everybody to see it either. It was carried around with a cover over it all the time, which tells me nobody could ever see it. Now, of course, when is one occasion where it was obvious to all?
Uzzah
touched it. And what was the occasion? What happened?
He died, but it was being carried on a cart.
After getting it back from the Philistines, they sent it back on the cart. They figured that was good enough.
The Philistines were having problems because it was causing them all kinds of headaches.
So there was something about that, and that's where it was kept, in the most holy place. And so God is trying to show them that He has this high expectation, again, going back to Nadab and Abihu, all that approach Him must honor Him, and before all, He was to be glorified. That's pretty much a summation of what God expected. Richard? Yeah, he was. I can imagine. You know, I can see the reasoning that we come up with. You know, well, ox cart. Well, we can't put it on that Philistine ox cart. We got to have a new ox cart. Forgetting that God had said that's not how it's to be carried. There is a specific.
Yeah.
And if we read later when he finally figures out after reading of the law what they were supposed to do, that God was with them when he did it right.
Was it 8 or 12 men that was supposed to carry the ark?
I thought it was just four. One on each corner. Richard?
One parallel to, you know, the high priest went in to the most holy place once a year to make atonement. And there, that's where God made him.
Yep.
Today, Jesus went in
the most holy place
to make atonement for us.
Right. Yep. The Hebrew writer makes that parallel, and that's one that we need to see also. Christ made the atonement for us. All right. What was the particular responsibility of the high priest? We pretty much covered that. And paralleling that, the place of Jesus as high priest, how is it a parallel? since we're already there. Okay, well, specifically we're talking about entering into the most holy place. One time for all. Okay. Yeah, there was blood. If you remember, there was blood to be sprinkled on the altar. Remember the two goats. One he laid his hands on, sent out in the wilderness. The other was offered up. And this was the one time a year when he could do that. But again, as the Hebrew writer we talk about in chapter 10, verse 4, those blood of the bulls and goats couldn't take away the sin that we've already talked about. It was the blood of Christ that, even for those under the old law, that's what was the payment. But they still had to make these sacrifices. Again, as we talked about, like for us today, we pray as people of God for forgiveness, but it's the blood of Christ that does the forgiving. Okay, anything else? Anything else for the high priest? Any parallels? Okay. Well, let's get to the text then on page 18. And we look at this Day of Atonement. One day of each year where the high priest would offer up a sacrifice as atonement for the people, according to verse 30, for the tabernacle, the holy sanctuary, for the altar, and for the priests themselves, verse 33. And again, hopefully we see the parallels between this and our sacrifice, Jesus Christ. And this isn't something that I came up with or somebody else came up with or the Church of Christ in the United States of America came up with. This is a parallel that the Hebrew writer came up with by divine inspiration. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, again, reading verse 23. Again, this is part of the reason why we need to be looking for these things as we're studying the old law. There are parallels between the Old Testament, the things of the Old Testament, and the things of the New Testament, to call it foreshadowing. It's pointing forward to something that is real. A shadow of something is pointing to something that's real, and that's what the Old Testament did. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23, beginning, writer says, therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And is appointed, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear for a second time apart from sin for salvation. So there's the parallel drawn there. He entered into the most holy place, not the one that was made with hands, but into heaven. And there's the parallel that hopefully we're going to see as we look at this. Now, as we usually do with the text, what are some of the words or phrases that stood out to you? And I'm sorry I can't highlight these up here. What are some of the words and phrases that stood out to you? Mercy seat. Okay. Here in, you don't even have verse numbers up here. The verse 2. And what was the mercy seat? Placed between the cherub on the top of the Ark of the Covenant, which was where, again? In the middle of the most holy place. And what happened there? That's where God came down. Whenever Moses was called in, that's where God came down. This is, why call the mercy seat? Any significance to that? God showing mercy. Who is the most merciful one of all? That's where he figuratively sits as he comes down with man, because we are in great need of His mercy. Okay, what else? Okay. Now, Aaron, as we might guess, is going to be in here a lot because we're talking about the high priest. And again, all the personal pronouns that will go with that. He, all the way down through here. Aaron being the first high priest, and all priests who would follow are going to come from his lineage. All priests, but only one high priest at a time. Because he was the only one that had these particular responsibilities. And we see at least there was a continuation of that in the New Testament. We see mention of someone being named as the high priest. May not have been done in the way that God wanted to, because according to what I've read in some of the secular history, sometimes those high priests were appointed by whoever the politician was in power. Derek, did I see him? Okay. Richard? Well, all priests had between 20 and 50. I don't remember the high priests being less than that. Maybe I'll have to look that up because I can't remember off the top of my head. I know all priests had the ages between 20 and 50. And as we talked about earlier, they had also restrictions on them as far as their external appearance even. No doubt. You think about it. Bringing in a calf. Even a calf is not going to be small. And as we talked about the last couple of weeks, how many sacrifices are you going to be making? I get a picture, it's almost a continuous thing going on. So it's not one person that's got all these responsibilities, but I just almost have to speculate that they were kept busy doing that. Okay, any other words or phrases that stand out? What's that? Atonement, okay. Which we might guess here. I can find it. Get the button here. Atonement for himself. The bull is a sin offering. And here's the thing. This is something the Hebrew writer would point to also. Before they could make sacrifices for others, what did they have to do for themselves? They had to offer for themselves. No different with this one. Aaron offered the bull as sin offering for himself, atonement for himself and his house, and then he shall take the goats, cast lot, one of them gets sent out into the wilderness, he gets to live, the other one is made sacrifice. But that atonement, that day of atonement, what was the purpose of this? I'm going to argue with you on that. That's not what the scripture says. Not roll forward. They are forgiven. Okay. Looking forward, I'll give you that. Yeah. But as it's said here, if you look at the about verse 6, paragraph of verse 6, beginning verse 8, Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell, offered as a sin offering, but the goat on which the lot fell be the scapegoat, shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and let it go as a scapegoat into the wilderness. Again, the word forgiveness, and I think even in the New Testament, the word for forgiveness means sending away. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. Literally. Putting his hands on the goat and sending away out into the wilderness. Again, hopefully we see the parallels between this and the New Testament. How are our sins sent away?
When the Lord sees his son's blood covering our sins, we are laying in baptism.
Well, as a Christian, you're already a Christian. How are they sent away? What do we have to do? Repent, right? Confessing of those sins, 1 John 1, 9. So, but they're sent away, again, by the blood. Mm-hmm. By the blood of Christ. And who does the sending away? God does. You know, here, we got the parallel of the high priest. Significant. Sending away these sins, figuratively. Well, who's our high priest in the New Testament? Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. There's our high priest. And he's the one that's sending away our sins by his own blood. And again, the Hebrew writer makes that distinction in chapter 7. Those under the Levitical law had to first make sacrifice for themselves before they could offer it for the people. Jesus did not. He was the pure sacrifice, didn't have to offer up a sacrifice for his own sins because he had none. What's that? The only one that could, right, right. Okay, any other words or phrases in here? Blood probably might be one that you see quite a bit in here because there, of course, there is the offering itself and the word offering. I already said the mercy seat. What else is in here several times? Okay. Holy, I think, is one that we should note too. Not just as in holy place, but he is to be holy. And this is a word that we're probably going to see pop up quite a few times in the book of Leviticus, not just this chapter, but throughout the book of Leviticus. Even into Deuteronomy, the end of Deuteronomy, as God is giving them the law, because what is his expectation for them? Be holy, or I am holy. Before we can understand that, what does the word holy mean? Set apart from what? What does he want them to be set apart from?
The world.
The world, right? How many times did God say, don't do what these other nations did? You know, that, in a sense, was him saying, be holy. Don't do what the world was doing. Don't do what these other nations have done. And that's how we make ourselves holy. So, any parallels to us today?
Don't do what the people have
done. Do we have the same command, same expectation? Sure. In fact, Peter quotes that exact command, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Still God's expectation that we be holy as he is holy. That's something I hope we see, that that's always what God's expected of people, that we are to be different than the world.
There in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, Paul encouraged the Corinthians there, which we, it's to us too,
right.
So we're to imitate Christ.
Yeah, we should be. Should be. Jesus himself says, enough for the servant to be like his master and the student, disciple like his teacher. So that's enough. But that's the minimum we better be doing. Try to be like him. Okay, any other phrases or words that stand out or significant? I think the ones we got so far pretty much point to what's going on here. You got Aaron, the offerings, the blood, holy, the goat, of course, because that's being made, offerings, maybe holy place even as a phrase. Pretty easy to see what's going on here. Aaron, the high priest, making the sacrifice for an atonement for the people. This is the Day of Atonement. This, their sins are figuratively sent away. Richard?
Two other words. We said that the parents making these offerings for the people because of their transgressions and their sin. Transgression means sin.
Okay.
But that's why they did it. He did it. And that's why Jesus went into heaven offering his blood for us.
Okay. Elvis?
Any significance to the animal that was sacrificed having to be burned outside? And then similar to Jesus being crucified outside?
Okay. I will take that because I think it certainly applies. Okay. Anything else? All right, let's get to the questions then. Page 19. How was the high priest to prepare himself for this Day of Atonement, and are there any parallels to Jesus as he prepared himself for the great sacrifice? If you look at beginning in about verse 3, let me just read this as a reminder. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering. You should put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He should be girded with a linen sash. With the linen turban he should be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering, one ram as a burnt offering. So, are there any parallels? Ellis? Okay.
I was thinking actually about the priest and how the Catholic Church has taken that tradition from that as well. I think they're coming straight from here.
Yeah, they took a lot of things from the Old Testament priesthood there and made the parallel between the Roman Catholic priesthood. Yeah. Yes? Okay. Okay. What about the washing part? Did Jesus need any kind of cleansing? See, there's the difference there. There wasn't a need for, and we're taking a shadow and a reality. The shadow being the preparation for sacrifice for the atonement of the people. The real being the preparation, if you will, for the sacrifice. The one who is making the offering had to prepare himself to cleanse himself. And again, as the Hebrew writer would say in chapter 7, Jesus didn't have need of that. He didn't need to cleanse himself, wash himself, and he didn't have to make a sacrifice. But it was, as you said, his body was prepared ahead of time, anointed. Okay, anything else? All right. What was the first thing that the high priest offered, and for whom? The bull for himself. Verse 6, Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. And then he's to take the goats. Okay. Verse 11 again, Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. Then take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, bring inside the veil, with the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat, as on the testimony, lest he die. And then he is to take the blood of the bull and sprinkle it on the mercy seat on the east side, and before the mercy seat with his finger seven times. So there's pretty strict ritual there, very specific ritual. But the offering for the bull was first for himself. He had to do that for himself before he could even do any of this other. Again, Hebrew writer chapter 7 makes reference to that. Explain the purpose. I'm sorry, got a couple hands. Nita first and then Elvis.
I was saying someone's
talking. Okay, Elvis. That's all I can get out of it, that it was common.
Derek? I would say that perhaps there is significance to the fact that the priest had to be cleansed himself, and that when we look at Christ, he is the perfect sacrifice.
Okay.
So the intercessor couldn't be anything less than to be pure, to come before God. Similarly, Christ was a pure sacrifice.
Right. Yeah, that there could be a parallel. They both had to be pure. Yeah, one had to become, or one was already. Right, good. Okay, what's the purpose of the two goats, and how are they chosen for each particular purpose?
Lots.
So, kind of like rolling the dice, sort of. Heads or flipping a coin. Heads, it's you, and tails, it's the other one. And then, what happened to each one?
One was sent off, and one was sent out to the wilderness.
Okay. I think it's noteworthy that in this special day every year where it's called the Day of Atonement, you've got one with the hands laid on him, sent out away from the people out into the wilderness, and another one offered up. I think what we're seeing there is a dual picture of what forgiveness is. A sacrifice has to be made, and they are being sent away. So at the same time, you've got one being offered up to God, the other one sent out into the wilderness. If we look at forgiveness, as God has shown us in the Bible, we see that what is necessary for forgiveness, according to God's Word. Without what, there is no forgiveness.
Blood.
So there has to be blood. But when we seek the forgiveness, though, again, we've given the definition, the literal definition is ascending away. In two acts, if you will, two animals, we've got the picture of forgiveness. In the New Testament, we've just got one sacrifice that does that. That offering of the blood is what does the sending away. Okay? Feeling like I'm losing all of you tonight. Wake up, everybody. Richard?
But only when we obey.
Not only when we obey. And that's always been the case. Even for them under the old law, God had specifics as to what they were to do for the forgiveness to happen. It's no different for us today. For somebody who likes to run to Romans chapter 1 and say, well, we're no longer under law, but under grace. So that means we can do whatever we want. God forbid. Yeah, that's exactly it. Shall we continue in sin that make grace may abound? Absolutely not. Okay, how did the Day of Atonement differ from other of the feast days? And is there any meaning to us today when we remember our Day of Atonement? Was it different than any other of the feast days? You guys are too quiet tonight. Well, let's first answer the first question. How did the Day of Atonement differ than the other feast days? Or did it? I guess I should. Okay. Now that's the obvious, very clear difference right there. This is the only one of the feasts where the high priest went in to make an offering for the people. If you think about the other feasts, we've got the Feast of Booths or Tents, Passover. What other feasts do we have? What's the 50 days after Pentecost? Which, about the Feast of the Harvest? Well, that wasn't an annual one. This is the only one that's really talking about sin. The rest of them are to mark either a particular time of year, like the Feast of Harvest, Feast of Booths, Passover, remembering things that were done in their past. And this is the one that focuses on their sin. But God did establish it, and like these other feasts that he established, he had a purpose for it. You know, it's a remembrance, right? Isn't that what the memorials are for? The feast days are basically memorial days. So if that's true, now what about our remembering of our Day of Atonement? Should it be any different than anything else that we do for God? It is, because it's... Yeah. Should it be maybe looked at a little bit different than the rest of what we do for God? I I'm not going to bite anybody's head off if you say yes or no. So come on, let's hear.
Not really.
Why not? I'll take your answer, but why not?
Because we do everything to honor God's job.
Okay. I can accept that. It is a command that we're supposed to do, right? And does one command have any more weight than the other? Some might argue for that. The weightier matter is the law, maybe. But as far as commands, is there one that we can ignore and be pleasing to God? No. They're all to be done. Okay. By His authority, too. Okay. The thing is, maybe it's not the right wording of the question, because if we were to look at the feast days, was any feast day more important than the others? Well, yes, there actually was. There were three feasts that all the males had to show up for every year, no exceptions. Just three of the feasts. So there was some difference according to what God said. But did they have to keep them all? Sure they did. So, in a sense, yes, there's some more importance to God, but no, they still had to keep all of them. And I would say the same thing for our memorial of our Day of Atonement. Is it important? Yes, it is. Is it just as important as every other command? Sure it is. But I don't know about you, but when I look at this, this means a lot more to me as a Christian, because this is why I'm a Christian. The fact that Jesus died and paid for my sins is the whole reason I'm here. So I don't give any more weight as far as a command, but importance, I think it is.
A lot of times when we serve the Lord's Supper, and I'll read from 1 Corinthians 11, mm-hmm. one phrase in there, things to do until He comes again.
Yeah, you left off part of it. In remembrance, of me.
Until He comes again.
Which is very important, because that's what a memorial is. And again, drawing the parallel here between the Day of Atonement, it was a remembrance. And the Hebrew writer says it's a remembrance of sin. For who? For them. And here's where we may get mixed up, and I think this is part of our misunderstanding about what happened to their sins. This is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, when it says that their sins were remembered every year. I think we kind of put it into our heads that God remembered their sins every year, so they weren't really forgiven. Well, that's not true. Who was reminded of their sins? The people. That's what it was for, to remind them that they had need of this on a constant basis. And that's why the Hebrew writer makes the point so strongly to Jewish Christians who are wanting to go back to this old law, that's not going to cut it. We have a far superior sacrifice in Christ where He doesn't have to keep doing it over and over and over. You've got one sacrifice. Again, we just read chapter 9, verse 28. As Christ died once for all, so man dies once, and after this, the judgment. He draws a parallel between this powerful sacrifice of Jesus. It only needed to be done one time. And so it should, for us, I don't know if importance maybe is not the right word, but meaning should have a lot more meaning to us than commands that every other command. It should have meaning because it's why we who we are. Richard, then we'll quit. Yeah, that's the danger. That's why I don't want us to say, well, it's more important than others, because some have said, okay, as long as I come to take the Lord's Supper, then I can go home after that.